Good evening, faithful listeners.
But especially Robert.
Yes, good evening, Robert. Right.
Welcome to Book 5, Part 2.
It's just my fingers.
Emmy just held up fingers to the camera, which you can't see. Book 5,
Part 2, no camera.
So that's awkward. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Yep.
Is the book we are in.
Yep.
Last time, like a million years ago, yep. We were talking about this. We left off when they were just arriving at Hogwarts.
Right.
And
it took us 2 hours to get
Because it took us 2 hours to get to Hogwarts. I wonder how long the train ride is.
That probably, I think it's longer than 2 hours.
I think so. It's
symbolic of the.
Because I feel like they start off in the morning, afternoonish.
Yes.
And get there at night.
It's dark, yeah.
They're ready for
dinner. Yeah, because they board the train at like 11.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they get there, they're ready for dinner.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Supper, like, so there's like night meal.
Is there a time change?
Ooh,
no, I think England all is so. Greenwich time because it's real skinny.
Okay. We should look up time zones.
Time zones of Hogwarts.
But yeah, so, and I think they have like lunch on the train.
Yes.
In book two, when they're like flying to Hogwarts, they're like, this is taking forever.
It's true.
Glad we established that. So,
we
have arrived at Hogwarts, which took us 2 hours, but took them at some other length of time, like 7. And, hi, Max. We've seen the Thestrals,
yes.
Which are the cool bat-like horse thingies.
Not cool. Creepy.
I think they're kind of cool.
Well, you and I can't see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
We're muggles, though.
We're muggles.
So, anyway. So we've met the creepy winged horse reptilian thingies that Harry's freaking creeped out by. And Luna has said, you're just as sane as I am. Which is not at all comforting.
No, it's super creepy.
Yep.
So then they go to the castle.
Yep. Time for dinner.
They go on to dinner. Is this the one where, or is that 4, when Harry's like, oh no, that's 4. Where he's like, the Sorting Hat has a new song every year?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you just missed it every year. But I was like, no, you know that happened before.
Yep, no.
So yeah, they go to dinner.
I think Dumbledore is just like, okay, hello, start of term announcements, blah, blah, blah. First years, please don't go in the Forbidden Forest unless instructed by Hagrid.
Unless you're Harry, Hermione, or Ron, because
right,
you'll go there every
go
year.
Go there all the time.
Just
and,
constantly.
Welcome everybody. Isn't it great?
No magic in between the corridors.
Right. I don't think he says anything about, you know, the fact that the Daily Prophet is depicting him as a demented geezer.
Or that Voldemort is back.
Right. I think he makes some sort of, like, minor references to that. But then, as he's about to conclude, or no, he notes, like, someone's taken Hagrid's place.
Oh, right!
Who's Sprout? Is Sprout teaching
Hagrid's place? I believe Grubbly Plank is back.
Grubbly Plank, yes.
Professor Grubbly Plank has returned to, because they have to go over the, they have to go over the professors.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
I'm caught up now.
Right.
So, Dumbledore says, our caretaker and, professor of care of magical creatures.
Yep.
Is on here this year. What is
that? I don't know.
Okay. And so, Hagrid is gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken a leave of absence, if
right.
you will.
And Harry and Ron and Hermione are like, what's going on?
They're like, Hagrid's our friend and we don't know what's going on. And this is upsetting.
He's probably doing something for the Order.
Right. And Dumbledore's like, so Professor Grubbly Plank has come out of retirement. And so we got that settled.
Yep.
And our new professor against the dark arts is freaking Dolores Umbridge.
Boo.
Although he says it much more nicely because
he's a diplomatic man. And he's about to breeze right on, and then, what happens is Harry's like, Hermione, that's the
woman from my trial.
Yeah. And she's like, oh. And then, Dumbledore's about to breeze right on, and, Umbridge goes, him.
And then Dumbledore's like, what? And
he's very polite, but everybody else is like, excuse you, lady.
Right. So this stupid squat,
frog-like
woman dressed in all pink gets up and she makes this long speech, which I don't know what
simpering.
It is.
It's, oh, what a nice smiling faces, la la la, aren't they lovely? And magic is so important, and so is the Ministry cares so much about the education of young witches and wizards. that we're now going to interfere with it on every fucking level.
But progress, for progress' sake, should not be tolerated.
Right.
She's a bitch.
She's not a good person.
She's the worst. And personally, I, though Emmy does not share this emotion / sentiment, I hate her worse than Voldemort. So we're going to put that out there early, now.
I up until today, I disagreed with you, but it just occurred to me that you've never seen He Who Must Not Be Named and Dolores Umbridge in the same room at the same time.
So you think they're the same person?
Could be. He could be a shapeshifter. Also, I mean, what if she's just like a projection of his mind into everyone else's minds? Because we know, as a result of this book, that he's a talented Aquaman. I feel
like Dumbledore would see through that. That's true. See through that.
But there's also some other things that we'll get to about Umbridge that, like, the more, when I was rereading, I was like, oh, how did nobody else notice that she's pure evil? Because, spoiler alert, Robert, she teams up with the Slytherins. Like, literally, the house where all of the people went bad.
Well, she was a Slytherin.
Yeah. Don't you think anybody, but when you team up with all of the Slytherins, don't you think somebody would be like, hey, maybe not.
Hey, how about no?
How about just no? No.
We tried to kill all the Slytherins the first year when we let a troll into the dungeons.
And it didn't work.
And it didn't work. So now they're stuck here.
Now we've brought a troll back for book 5. It's just a frog.
Although, I mean, I feel like once Umbridge started talking with the Slytherins,
right,
that should have been a cue that she's evil.
Right.
Which is good.
Right.
But I do not want her hanging out with anyone else.
No, I think just generally she's evil and a terrible person. But she's now the new professor of Defense Against the Dark Arts.
She gets up and makes a speech, and in the movie, oh no, this is in the book too. Like, everyone kind of just starts like dazing off. And
yeah,
it's like, whatever.
They're
full and they're like not paying attention. And then, but Hermione's like snap attention because it's Hermione and that's who she is.
Yay!
And so then she like sits down. And I don't know, like, in the movie they ask Hermione, but in the book she's probably just pushy and tells them.
Yeah.
But she just says, like, oh, so the ministry is going to interfere at Hogwarts now. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Not.
Yeah, no.
So then I feel like that's dumb.
Yeah. And then we just get introduced to classes as usual.
Yep.
And Quidditch.
Yep.
So one of the things happening with Quidditch is that they need a new keeper.
Ah, yes, Oliver Wood has graduated.
Gone on to be drafted for some team.
Yeah.
I don't recall who. Not Puddlemere United. Maybe Puddlemere United.
No.
Okay.
I feel like it was something else.
Some sort of, like, AAA league, probably.
Yeah. So Harry has been made...
Captain?
No!
No! What?
No!
Angelina Johnson is captain.
Yay, Angelina!
Yay! And, so she's like, okay, we have to have tryouts for new keeper.
Oh, yep. Sorry, I just remembered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Thank you. I feel like that should be the drinking game. When do Carrie and Emmy read each other's minds? So
classes as usual. They have Transfiguration with McGonagall.
Right. Nothing really happens.
They're kicking some history with Binns, probably.
Not a lot of discussion about that. Oh my gosh, it's fifth year. It's fifth year, and so they're all stressed to the freaking max because it's time for their OWLs, for the ordinary wizarding levels.
Yes.
And so all of the professors are like, you have these giant tests at the end of the year that basically determine your future.
Yeah.
So, in a sort of like evil ACT kind of way.
Yep.
And I think this is reflective of what the British school system is like, that you have, like, these massive tests at the end of your,
that's
like...
That's terrifying.
Like, 14 or 15-year-old year. And, it determines your fate,
kind of.
And that's just... That's even more horrifying than the Sorting Hat.
Right.
Which determines your fate at 11. But,
But this determines your fate for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, and you're an idiot 14-year-old, 15-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't care about, like, girls and, like, whether or not you have zits. You don't care about, like... life career choices, unless you're Hermione Granger, because you're awesome. I love you, Hermione.
Yeah.
Number.
But yeah, like, But yeah, like, owls are a big deal, not yeah. only because, like, these scores will follow them the rest of their lives. And also, the upper courses will only accept
right
different ones. So, for example, Harry James Potter would like to be an Auror.
Right.
He's which is a dark it. Wizard catcher. That's what he's considering.
Right.
For example, in order to get into upper level potions, which he would need to be an Auror.
Oh, yes.
He has to get an outstanding.
Yes.
On his owls.
Yes.
And the owls, I don't exactly remember their levels, but it's like.
Believe there's.
Top is outstanding. Yep. And then it exceeds expectations.
Yep. And then A for and acceptable.
Then A is acceptable. And then.
Is there a P for pass or D is dreadful?
D for dreadful. And then T for troll.
I think that might be something no, they made up.
They made that up, but I think there's an F too. I think there's a straight up fail.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think Fred and George make up T for troll.
I think so too, but it makes me smile.
So basically, outstanding is the best, and. Yeah.
So their workload has greatly increased.
So the professors are like dumping all of this homework on them so that they can try to. Succeed at their OWLs. This is reflective of the British, and I think also the Chinese school system that just, like, they front load, like, they just overburden their kids with homework.
That's terrifying.
In contrast to the American one where we overburden our kids with sports and after school activities.
Right.
Go America. We're number one. Just not in math and science.
Because we like sports, we don't care who knows.
That's right. That's fire in my head.
Yeah,
anyway,
I was gonna say, this
just,
is...
So the first couple chapters are just, like, Harry and Ron never sleeping. Like, they don't get their homework. There's this constant stream of them not being able to get their homework done.
Yeah, and even Hermione's, like, tweaking out.
Yeah, she's still getting everything done, but, like...
But, like...
She's crazy about it, yeah. And, so, like, they can't... Like, Harry can't fit in practice for Quidditch, and he's, like, freaking out about that. And... Just all the professors keep dumping homework on them. Snape is terrible, as per usual.
Yeah, he's assigning a lot of stuff. And even McGonagall's like...
Yeah.
Like, they thought that McGonagall would be reasonable, but no.
Yeah. Harry's also experiencing some inter-house tension. Inter-house tensions? Intra-house tensions? Tensions within his own house.
Intra.
Intra. Thank you.
Inter would be like him having a problem with the Hufflepuffs, and no one has problems.
No, because they're awesome. Except for Ernie McMillan, who's a little stuck on himself, but that's okay. So, apparently Seamus Finnegan has a mother who reads the Daily Prophet and believes it and thinks that Harry's a nutter and that Dumbledore is also a nutter and, like, almost didn't let Seamus come back to school, so now Seamus has a chip on his shoulder about Harry and is just an ass to him all the time. As if Harry's the one telling the Daily Prophet, hey, can you please write lies about me?
Well, I mean... Like, Seamus almost didn't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it's not fair. Seamus is being a jerk.
Well, Seamus is being a jerk because his mother doesn't believe doesn't believe Harry and believes the Daily Prophet, like most of the wizarding world.
That's true. But the sweet thing is that when Seamus starts yelling at him, Ron comes in and is like, excuse me, I believe Harry, and you missed this in the movie. Because he's not a prefect in the movie. They completely scrapped that plotline. But Ron's like, I'm a prefect, and I believe Harry. So you all just fuck off.
Yeah.
Basically. And it's pretty great.
It is pretty great.
Because, you know, Ron and Harry, I mean, like, they're each other's best mates, but they also have some tension of, like, competitiveness and Ron always feeling like a second Ran. And it's just great to see Ron standing up for him.
Right.
So we get to Defense Against the... Oh,
okay. That's where we're going. No, we can go there. We need to get to those new snack boxes at some point.
Oh my gosh. There's so much to cover in book five.
Because Ron's a prefect and it gets awkward. But I think we can go to Defense Against the Dark Arts first and then come back.
Okay, Defense Against the Dark Arts is taught by Dolores Jane Umbridge.
Yep.
Umbridge. And there will be no spell casting in Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Yeah. They come in to the room. They sit down. And she's like, wands away. No, like, this is Defense Against the Dark Arts. Like, we tackle boggarts.
Yeah.
And see the unforgivable curses and listen to Tom Cruise talk about himself. And I don't remember anything that you and girls. No, Lupin was the
boggart.
They
get taught by a guy with Voldemort sticking out the back of his head.
Stuff happens in Defense Against the Dark Arts. Like, this is not History of Magic with Professor Binns. This is Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Mm-hmm.
But so she, or, Umbridge says, you're not going to use magic in my course. Because theory is all you need.
Right.
All you need is to read this book,
right,
and you'll be fine.
That should be perfectly fine to get you, you know, an acceptable grade on your OWLs.
Right. So.
And even Hermione is like, excuse me?
Yeah,
books,
like,
books are not enough for this.
Is it the first club if she's read the whole book?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Because Hermione is the best.
Right. So, Dolores Umbridge's way of teaching is that they'll sit down and read a chapter out of their book.
Right. It's sustained silent reading,
which, let's not make that seem like a negative statement.
Yeah, I love
because
sustained silent reading
is the best.
And I don't.
Read a lot of Harry Potters during that time.
Yeah. Does she give them homework? She does give them homework, though.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's all essays.
It's all essays.
So, like, literally, she takes the fun part of magic away.
Yeah,
which
she just
is
says, read this book, write an essay.
Yes, it's seminary. It's just like seminary, Carrie. Is that the realization you just came to?
Yes.
Hang in there. 2 more weeks and then break. And then you get to have so much Christmas break and you're going to go on an awesome vacation to distant lands.
That's true. I'm
excited
about that.
And you're going to send me a postcard and I'm going to be freezing my ass back here in Minnesota.
Well,
oh, actually, I'm going to Portland in January.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How come I for?
The Gay Christian Network is having a conference
right.
And I get to go. It's going to be awesome.
I just pictured like a television station called GCN.
Yeah. That's kind of it.
That's amazing.
It's going to be pretty awesome.
That's exciting.
I think
you
Vicky,
should send me a postcard from
Vicky
there.
Beeching and I are going to become friends.
Cool.
I think I've just decided.
I like how you just scope out friends. You're like, that person and I are going to be friends.
She's like a Christian contemporary star and like in the
You'll be friends
in the
on
Anglican
Facebook
Church.
Within like 15 minutes.
I know. I'm working on it. I don't think she knows yet, but that's okay.
That's all right. It's fun to surprise.
It's fine.
So, Umbridge says.
We stayed on track for a long time.
We did.
Good job, team.
So Umbridge says, open your books to, like, chapter one, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And read it.
Yep.
And she just, like, goes up to her desk. And Hermione raises her hand.
Right.
And Umbridge comes over and speaks, like, just to her. And she's like, what's your issue? And Hermione's like, I've read the first chapter. And Umbridge is like, okay.
And
read the second chapter. And Hermione's like, I've read the whole book. And Umbridge is, like, speaking, like, just to Hermione and is whispering so the rest of them continue.
Right.
Hermione's just, like, flat out talking. Like, she's
yep.
like, I've read the whole book.
Yep.
Like,
and I think Umbridge quizzes her on something random.
Yeah. And then Hermione obviously gets it because it's
Hermione. Do we ever cover, do you think she just has a photographic memory?
I don't know what makes her so amazing.
She's just really amazing.
Probably a photographic memory
or I'm going to go with a dangerous claim here. I think Hermione Granger's my number one.
Oh my gosh, I thought you were going to make that. I was scared for you. But, yeah, I can see that.
Okay. I mean, I love Tonks.
She's not my number
and
one,
and so many others.
Yeah.
But I think Hermione is my number one. It's just, there's something about...
She's wonderful.
Smart girls with wavy hair.
And Emma Watson.
Wasn't she just on Jimmy Fallon doing something with, like... She was, like, dancing around in a really short dress.
She was. It was weird.
Which I was like, that's weird. I wouldn't dance in a short dress, because, like, what if something happened?
So, Robert,
to get back to the point.
Yeah, okay, so they're having this conversation, and then Hermione's talking, and then, I don't know how Harry gets involved.
Well, basically, because he defends Hermione.
Yeah, he defends Hermione.
Else.
And, okay, so this is the part, I'm not sure if it's in the book, I think it is, but it's my favorite part in the movie, so I'm just gonna describe it.
I think it's also in the book.
Okay, good. So, Umbridge is talking, and her and Harry start getting into a debate, because
yes.
Harry is now stuck up for Hermione,
yes.
And it's like, the conversation is switched to him.
Yeah.
And so, she says something about, like, theory's enough, like, you
yeah.
just need to read. And Harry's like, how is theory supposed to prepare us for what's out there? And Umbridge is like, what do you think is out there? And Harry, in the most amazing line of the entire series says, I don't know, maybe Lord Voldemort. It's the most amazing. I don't know, maybe Lord
Voldemort.
Like, it's my favorite thing ever.
I think in the book she says, who do you think would want to attack children?
Yeah.
Which makes the irony even stronger, because remember, Voldemort attacked Harry Potter when he was 1 year old.
It's true. And it's not like he just, like, Voldemort attacked infants and adults. In between, you're totally fine.
Yeah.
No. So that's hilarious. And then she gives him detention.
Yeah, she gives him detention for telling lies. She makes an she makes a note on a piece of paper, actually, just gives it to him and tells him to go to his head of house, McGonagall.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes to McGonagall and is like, hi, Professor Umbridge told me to give this to you. And she reads it, and she's like, she says, you shouted at her? And he says, yes, Professor. You told her that he who must not be named is back?
Yep.
Yes, Professor. And she gets this deep sigh, and she says, have a biscuit, Potter.
Oh, McGonagall.
Because McGonagall is just amazing.
She's top 10.
I'll agree.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for your top 10, which is your top 40.
I need to make that list. So I have a real top 10.
In class.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That might, well.
You can start generating it on Twitter and then have commentary.
That's true. That might happen tomorrow.
Okay. Do you have class tomorrow?
Yeah.
At 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So, McGonagall is awesome and is just like, Harry, you have detention forever with Dolores. And he's like, but, and she's, dude, no. She is from the, and I think she gives him kind of this little reaming out where she's like, do you understand why she's here? And Harry does this whole, because things, the ministry's interfering at Hogwarts.
And oh, McGonagall, I love this part.
And McGonagall says, well, at least you pay attention to Hermione Granger. Who is my number one.
Oh, McGonagall.
And so, yeah, so he has detention forever. And I think it's like every Friday night for a long time.
Yeah.
And Angelina Johnson is pissed.
Pissed.
So mad.
She's so pissed.
So mad. Because that's when Quidditch tryouts are for the next Keeper. And she's like, Harry, I told you not to schedule anything.
Are her and George still dating at this point?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't remember.
By the way, that happens.
I don't know. They go to the Yule Ball, but do they, like, date?
They're not together, so.
What?
They end up together.
Oh, okay. So
I'm guessing they. Anyway. Yeah,
all right.
But they have a romantic relationship at some point. Yes. I just didn't know when it was official.
I don't know if, yeah, or I don't know if it's like an off again, on again kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's not any reference in the book to it.
Right.
But the book is pretty Harry-centric.
It's true. It's very central to Harry.
Yeah. On account of it being
third person limited,
Harry
I believe, is what we're going to
well,
go with.
No,
well, no,
technically it's
because
Harry
it's
Potter.
Well, is it?
Well, it's third person limited, but you get views into Harry's brain. So is that limited?
I don't think so.
Because if it's third person objective, then it would be views into everybody's
then
brain.
You could see everything. Yeah. But we're only with Harry.
Most of the time. Periodically we get snippets of other things.
Yeah.
Especially in the prologues. Especially when we get into books 6 and 7.
Right. But mainly.
Mainly we're Harry Potter.
It's Harry freaking Potter.
Harry Hi, Potter Max. And the whatever of the whatever. So. So Angelina is pissed. So we now have Harry in detention with Dolores Jane Umbridge, who was evil. So much homework that nobody can handle it. Gryffindor doesn't have a keeper. And Ron and Hermione are prefects, and that is causing tensions because Harry took it away.
So, if you remember...
Do you like how I worked the back of my head?
That was wonderful. You can rock a transition, my friend.
Thank you. It's all the pastoral training.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It's the tenuous connections between scriptural passages that require by the lectionary that have allowed me to develop themes and be able to weave back to them.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
So, if you remember from book 4, Harry won the Triwizard Tournament and then got all this money and didn't really want it. So he gave it to Fred and George Weasley, the awesome twins, twin brothers of Ron Weasley. Wow.
Ron Weasley!
And so they, so they're working on this joke shop.
Right.
And, they have invented these, they're called skeeving?
Skiving.
Skiving snack
boxes.
Because
you skive off from class, which is a British expression for skipping class.
Oh, I was wondering. My contact is, like, freaking out right now.
Do you want to go deal with that?
Woo! Okay. So, I'm just gonna not see out of my right eye for a little bit.
Do you want to go deal with that?
On it. Anyway, okay. So, they've developed these skiving snack boxes. So, what they're doing, it's a work in progress. So, they're creating these treats that you would eat that would, like, give you, like, boils or
make you throw up.
Yep, one will make you throw up.
Nosebleed.
I think there's one that's just, like, swelling.
I think so.
And so you bite half of the candy and it gives you this, like, bad news bear situation going on. And then you bite the other half and it's the antidote. So you're in class, you don't want to be there, you, like, bite this candy, get a nosebleed, get sent to the hospital wing, go outside, eat the antidote, and then just, like, skip around town for however long.
You get to skive off class.
Right.
Skiving snack boxes.
The issue is that they need testers. Right. And so, Fred and George have started a business, side business venture, where they're having first years test these things out.
I don't think they're specifically limited to first years, it's just everybody else is wise to Fred and George.
Right.
And so they're like, no, that's fine.
No, we're good.
But the first years are like, what, galleons? Okay.
Okay. Much reminiscent of the candies that they gave Dudley Dursley.
Correct.
In the beginning of the fourth book.
Correct.
See our 4.1 podcast for more information on that.
Yep.
So they're developing that, and all the first years are getting, like, are testing these things and, right, like, getting really sick, yep, and they're, like, not figuring out the antidotes right, and so everything's kind of freaking out.
I think, actually, when they're testing them on the first years, they figured out most of them. The really bad ones just happen to Fred and George.
That's true. They test them on themselves before
and they,
like,
because they get boils where their broomsticks go, and they discuss how painful that is. And
oh,
I think
poor boys.
The nosebleed one, they haven't figured out the antidote. Like, they won't test it on anybody else because they haven't figured out how to make the bleeding stop yet.
Right, so there's, yeah.
So they're a work in progress. We returned to the skiving snack boxes multiple times, but Hermione is just like,
Hermione's pissed
not
about this. Like, she's like, I'm a prefect and this will stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're, so Harry, Ron, and Hermione are all doing homework one night in the common room, and they see Fred and George, like, with some other kids in the other side of the common room. And Hermione's like, they can't do... Oh, no, first it starts out because they have a flyer.
Yes.
And, there's a flyer that says, like, hey, like, we're testing this stuff out. If you want to help us out, like...
Basically.
We'll pay
But they make it sound really cool. They're like, hey, do you need to earn gallons of galleons? Or, like, are you finding your pocket change is a bit penniless at the end of the month or something like that.
Right, like, it's, like, cute and adorable.
It's very,
and I would
very,
probably sign up for
it's very
it,
hipstery.
But I'm a hipster and I kind of have a crush on the twins. So they're doing this whatever, and Hermione's like, this, like, first she rips off the poster and says, like, this is not happening. And then it's happening. And so she gets pissed, and then I think she sends Ron over. Like,
no,
Ron should go.
No, she goes over, and Ron, like, because, like, she Harry, Ron, and Hermione are studying in their favorite chairs by the fireside. Which, like, do you suppose there was ever a first year that sat in those chairs and Harry Potter came along and was like, hi, I'm Harry Potter and you're my seat?
Probably.
Actually,
I think they would just know.
Right, or somebody else would be like, dude!
Dude, that's Harry Potter's seat. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god, get out of it! First, they'd be, like, petting it, loving it,
right,
and they'd run away.
That'd be a great prank to play on all the first years that, like, no matter what they did, be like, dude, that's what Harry Potter, like, that's
dude,
Harry Potter's...
That's Harry Potter's...
That's Harry Potter's coat
potions.
And they'd be like, oh my god, I'm so sorry! and Hermione's like, oh, we have to stop them, and gets up and goes off to the corner to stop Fred and George from feeding, their perfected
nosebleed
nougat. Yeah, to the first years. And Ron, like, sort of gets up and then looks at Harry and is like, she's got it under control.
I don't
want to mess with the brothers. Oh my gosh, we haven't talked about Ginny at all.
No, I don't remember.
Ginny's at school
doing.
And she's awesome.
Yeah, she's...
There you go.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't
we'll
remember
get back
what
to
Ginny's
her.
Doing.
She ends up trying out for the German County Seeker.
Oh, does
after
she?
After Harry gets kicked off the team, she becomes Seeker. It's not in the movie, it's only in the book.
I totally forgot about
and
that.
And then she ends up telling him that she likes being chased by her.
Right.
Because then she ends up being chased.
Right.
She's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Top 40. Do you suppose they just had, like, super fast children? Just, like, genetically engineered to be.
They had the Flash, is what happens.
Right.
Ginny and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Had the Flash.
Yep, the Flash. That's... I feel like James was probably the Flash. The arrogant little son of a gun.
Right.
Wait, isn't there in the Marvel Universe a sister and a brother who are, like, one of them is really fast, that would be Quicksilver, and one of them is really good at manipulating objects, and I don't remember her name.
I am more of a DC person, so you're going to have to take Batman. Done.
Okay, but if you consider...
Justice League.
Okay, but if you consider...
Justice League.
If you consider DC Marvel movie concepts, Marvel is more fun.
I agree.
Thank you.
I appreciate the dark and menacing tone.
Why?
Of DC movies.
The world is dark enough as it is, Carrie.
Yeah, might as well reflect that, Emmy.
I think it'd be better to go to movies out of escapism, where I don't have to deal with the darkness
and
of the world.
And just deny reality?
Well, okay, they're already superheroes.
Gotham needs to be saved, Emmy. We can't just pretend the problems aren't there.
Do you know how Gotham should be saved? It should not be saved by a multimillionaire vigilante. That's how you get oligarchies, Carrie. It needs to be solved by democracy and process.
He is a symbol, Emmy. And to use in times of need. He still believes in the democratic system.
But notice that Gotham never gets better. Batman just exists forever. What? In the comics, it kind of does. So if we just... What if you didn't have Batman? What if the system had to take care of all of the psychos?
Obviously, the system is not working. But what if the Joker?
Okay, let's try. What if he funneled all the money that he funnels into buying himself freaking tanks?
You think he's
into the system?
He's gonna funnel it into a system. He's gonna funnel it into a broken system.
What if
he's funneling it into a broken system, Emmy?
But what if by putting more money, energy,
you think
interest,
more money is gonna repair the system?
I said energy and focus as well.
We're in a deep hole. Let's get out of the Batman fight. This is not going to end well.
And I just realized book 6 and 7 stand behind you and not me, so.
Yep.
All right, fine.
Yep.
Fine, you win. Fine. I concede point to Carrie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Batman, DC Marvel.
Yeah, you brought Marvel.
Quicksilver.
Oh, Harry's
children. Harry's children being genetically superior to everyone else because Ginny is awesome and gets ignored in the context of Fred George and Ron. So, all that continues.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna go put my glasses on.
That's fine. I'm gonna cover. Okay. So I think it's time for detention.
Is it?
I think so, because he has detention pretty quickly.
We can go there.
So Harry has to go to detention with Dolores, and he goes into her office, which is all pink. Oh, but then we're. Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, okay. I'll just tell the story while Carrie is out of the room. So Carrie, as you may know, has a cat named Maggie, who is excellent. When Carrie was messing around on Pottermore one day and was in the Umbridge office on Pottermore, and there Umbridge has a bunch of cats on plates, like those decorative plates that grandmas collect, hanging on the wall, and they meow, and Maggie has never reacted to any cats before.
Yeah. So I used to have fun with that, like with other cats. Like you'd put like a cat YouTube video up or something, and like you know, have other cats, and they'd be like looking for them.
Yeah,
it was kind of funny. Or like when I would watch Homeward Bound, and cats would be like, "What's up? There's a cat on the screen," or like they'd hear it. I don't know if cats can see screens. I kind of feel like they don't.
I don't think so because they're in 2D, and I don't think.
So anyway, they would hear it though and kind of freak out. But Maggie has never done this.
Right.
She has never reacted to any cat thing, and
she's
I have tried. Like, I put up YouTube videos, liked for movies and stuff.
Yeah,
nothing.
My cat used to freak out.
Right. She would not react. And I was like, okay, whatever. So now I'm on Pottermore, and I'm in Umbridge's thing.
Office,
that's what it's called.
Evil office of pink and... evil office of pink and plates.
Yes. And so I'm in there, and so on Pottermore, you have to go to these different areas and, like, collect different things or, like, move different stuff in order to complete the level. And one of the things was to go on the cats. And when you'd go on the cat plate, it would meow.
Yep.
And Maggie, who has never reacted to anything, started to freak the F out.
Yeah.
Like, just, like...
Because she's a smart cat, and she knows that, that Dolores's cats are evil.
Right. She was, like, trying to, like she was, like, walking around my screen and, like, pawing at it and stuff. And I was like, jeepers! Like, you've never cared about any cat!
That's amazing.
On anything, except for this. It was amazing. Yes, we're at detention?
Yeah, we're at detention. So Harry shows up for detention. And she's like, I'm going to have you write lines. And he's like, that's okay. old-fashioned and quaint. But she has him write him on parchment, and he gets out his quill, and she's like, no, I have a special quill, and gives him, like, a quill with an iron tip.
Yep.
And it's creepy.
Yep. She invented it.
Yeah! Because she's the evil. Worst. I hate her so much.
He says, what should I write? And she says, I must not tell lies.
Yes.
And he says, how many times? And she goes, as long as it takes to sink in.
Yes.
In a very menacing tone.
And he's
tone.
Like, okay.
So then he starts writing.
He's trying to scoot, by the way, to watch the Quidditch pitch.
Oh, yeah, because there's so cause it's keeper cute. Tryouts.
Yeah, he's trying to watch the keeper tryouts, and he can't see what everybody's, like, he's trying to watch. But, he's got to write lines.
Right.
So, is there ink? Or does he just
write? So he starts to write.
Yeah.
And he finds that there's bright red ink.
Bright red.
Happening. And he's like, huh, that's weird that I don't need any ink, but yeah. This is just occurring.
It's Magic Pen by Dolores.
Right. But then he glances over, and he sees, so he's writing with his right hand, yeah. And on his left hand, the words, I must not tell lies, appears, and then sinks into his
yeah.
hand.
Well, he winces. It's, like, cut into his skin.
Right. He starts to really
And I
hurt.
Think in the movie it's his left hand, but I am pretty sure that it's his right hand in the books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's just in the movie, like, to get the angles right, they did it on the left hand, but I'm pretty sure it's on the right hand in the book.
That'd be weird. Oh, I suppose not. Never mind.
I don't really remember. Anyway,
well,
he
I was thinking,
because
he would be writing, and then, like, the blood would be dripping, but the blood is going through the pen, so that makes sense.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. That has happened before.
It
there
has,
are documented instances.
It's true. You still think that Ravenclaw is blue and silver, so... It's blue and bronze. Anyway, we won't Batman this. So,
where you just yell louder than me? Where? That's not how you win an argument. That's just how you win an argument on Fox News.
Batman. So, hey now. No, it's true.
I'm sorry. Are you going to protest? Are you going to defend Fox News?
No, I'm just saying. I don't like being compared
actually,
to Fox
local,
News.
Actually, local Fox News.
I prefer to be the Jon Stewart of this thing, but I'm not.
Which one has a lot of yelling? I feel like Colbert, maybe. Anyway, moving on. When Harry writes lines, it's getting cut into the back of his hand.
Yeah.
And it's creepy as all get out.
Which, in the movie, it, like, immediately is, like, there. In the book,
yeah.
It just, like, sinks in, and it doesn't leave any scars or any markings for a while.
Right.
Also,
the skin just gets irritated.
A thing that they don't have in the movie that they do have in the book is Harry also trying to write it exactly as he did before, because when when his handwriting changes, it changes on his skin, so, like, new cuts are being made, almost.
Yeah.
You know, so if you make your eye a little bit bigger, then it's gonna be a little bit bigger on your hand, and then it's gonna hurt more, because it's new stuff instead of the same marks.
Yeah, exactly.
So he writes lines for a while, and then she checks his hand at some point, and she's
like,
I think
we can be done.
He winces
a lot, but he's, like, trying not to make noise.
Yeah, he's trying not to let her know that he's in pain, because he's like, screw you, lady.
Yeah. Sorry. I think eventually she looks at his, in the book, she looks at his hand and just, like, clicks her tongue. It's like, oh, this isn't sinking in, you know, I think this will be enough for tonight, but.
But you'll have to come back
next week. And it's, like, past midnight. So that sucks.
Yeah.
And...
Which, all of, like, whenever they have detention, they always end up going to, like, past midnight, and I'm like, what are the professors doing? Like...
Right.
I'm just gonna hang out in my office till midnight with
this
kid.
Yeah, that sounds
like,
fun. Grading papers, I guess.
I suppose.
Especially for the OWL kids, because they're assigning shit tons of work.
That's true.
And she was probably, like, writing fan letters to Cornelius Fudge. I love the way that you completely ignore the fact that the Dark Lord is back, putting the entire wizarding population in giant jeopardy.
Kisses, kisses, kisses.
XOXO. XXX for how evil I am. Dolores.
Dolores. Plus, it's not like they're going, like, clubbing or anything. I mean, they live at the castle, so.
They totally go clubbing down at, like, Madame Rosemary's, though.
They do. I want to see McGonagall and Flitwick
dance.
Getting
down. Putting their charms on the dance floor.
Wow. Charm. arms on the dance floor.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm a smooth woman. This is just a fact. Oh, I feel sorry for the poor sap who will date me.
Things have derailed.
Yeah, because normally things just stay right smoothly.
It's true.
We're doing really well. We're only 40 minutes in and we've trucked
right along. And we've gotten through at least a chapter, so.
Yeah, I think we're two. So, Harry goes back. Is this when he finds out that Ron made the team?
He goes back and tries to hide it, I think.
Yeah, he does try to hide it from, like, everybody. That he's like, no, nothing happened to my hand.
I'm fine.
And I think he actually manages to pull that off at least one more night with Dolores. And then eventually Hermione's like, hey, how come your hand's all bad? And he's like,
Well, because at first, it doesn't show up.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know when he goes back and finds out, so we might as well just do it now.
Okay, fine. He goes back. He finds out that Ron, his best mate, is going to be Gryffindor keeper.
Yay!
They're going to get to play on the same Quidditch team.
Yay!
Isn't that great? That's so great.
That is great.
Fred and George are really difficult, of course, for Ron to play with because they always pick on him. But he was better than, I mean, I don't think he was necessarily better than everyone else. I think Angelina says, like, oh, there's another goalkeeper who's better, but he's got a lot of attitude, and I didn't want him. And I think Ron really has potential. And Harry's like, okay, thanks. And she's like, just so you know, I know he's your best mate, but that's not why I put him on the team.
Right.
And that's cool. So, I think Ron is, like, both excited and terrified.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah. This is completely skipped in the movies, by the way. In the movie, he's not keeper until
movie six.
I don't think they even do Quidditch in 5? I don't think they do.
I don't know. There's a lot going on in 5.
By the way, Harry Potter's been having dreams. Have we been talking about this?
Oh my gosh, we completely skipped that.
So Ooh. Harry Potter has been having these dreams. They're very vivid, and it's him walking down a hallway.
Yeah.
And getting to a door, but he can never get into the door.
He can't even reach the door. At first, it's just like he's reaching out to the door, but he can't even touch it. And he's like, bah!
And he's having these reoccurring dreams.
Yeah.
That's a thing you just need to know.
Yep.
So Ron's on the Quidditch team.
Right. But he's not super great.
He's all right.
Yeah. He gets really nervous really easily. They have a couple of practices and things are all right, but they're tough. And
there's this adorable moment where, so Harry's been going to these detentions for a while and the stuff starts to sink in.
Yeah.
And he comes back one night and Hermione has made a bowl of this, like, potion stuff. And she's like, put your hand in here. And just immediately it feels so much better. Relief. Like, all the pain is taken away. So he's laying there with that. And then Crookshanks, the cat, Hermione's cat, jumps on his, like, lap and, like, curls up and stuff. And it's just an adorable, nice
moment.
It's
this really sweet moment.
And then Harry gets pissed and ruins it.
Why does he get pissed?
I don't remember, but for some reason he gets pissed and then he smashes the bowl.
Harry gets really angry at weird moments.
He's just weirdly angry.
I mean, he's an emotional teenager, but there's, like, something else. Like, he's just violently angry for no discernible reason.
Right. And he's having these flashes of, like, where he gets really mad, and even at Ron and Hermione, where he's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why he yells at Hermione.
I don't remember, but
he
gets pissed for some reason.
Yeah, Oh, I think it's because Hermione keeps saying, like, you need to go tell Dumbledore about what she's doing. And Harry's like, no, I can handle it on my own.
Because, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, because Dumbledore's been ignoring him.
Yeah, exactly.
So Harry's like, well, obviously there's something going on.
Yeah, like, Dumbledore no longer makes eye contact with him or, like, talks to him or communicates with him in any way, and Harry's like, hi, do you remember how I nearly died last year, and you were really nice to me? Can we do that again, please? Also, the hats. But what are you thinking
of? The hats?
You're not thinking of the hats. What are you thinking of?
No, I'm thinking of the whole High Inquisitor thing.
Oh, gosh, when does that start?
I don't remember. This book is long.
Oh, my God, there's so much in this book. This is my second least favorite book.
Yeah,
it's just so dark.
Yeah.
So, at some point, Dolores Jane Umbridge.
So,
how does she get
there? Umbridge has been writing letters to Fudge, like, updating him on Hogwarts stuff. And,
right.
I need water. Oh, God, we didn't explain the DA or anything.
Well, because we haven't gotten... She becomes High Inquisitor before the DA. Right.
So she becomes High Inquisitor. So she's been writing these letters to Fudge. And just saying that Hogwarts isn't going very well. So Fudge appoints her as High Inquisitor, which puts her just below Dumbledore as headmaster, pretty much. And so she's going to start reviewing all of the teachers and everything, and just kind of gets, like, special perks, I guess.
She reviews all of the teachers, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hilarious, because...
Because?
Well, I mean, like, she reviews... I mean, okay, there's some parts that are sad. Like, she comes in to review Gribbly Plank, and, you know, she's asking all of these, these nosy questions, and, basically, Ron and Harry want to stand up for Hagrid, but the honest thing is that Gribbly Plank is technically a better professor, and so it's really hard for, them to see her interviewing Gribbly Plank, who's clearly, like, superior at the job, and they're really worried about, like, when Hagrid gets back, BTW, where is Hagrid? When he gets back, is he going to pass Umbridge's tests? But there are delightful moments, like when Umbridge tries to observe McGonagall. And McGonagall is having none of it.
So, I read this part actually quite recently, but so Umbridge is like sitting in the classroom already.
Yep.
And then McGonagall comes in and just immediately starts her lesson. Like, she's like, okay, today we're, I don't remember what they're transforming, but it's something a little bit bigger, like push pins into hedgehogs.
I think it's hedgehogs into pushpins.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because you're supposed to, because when you, I think she tells Seamus your pushpin, or your pincushion runs away whenever you come at a needle, with a needle.
Nice. So yeah, so they're doing that, and McGonagall's like, Umbridge says, ahem. And McGonagall kind of ignores her at first, I think, and then she like keeps getting louder, and McGonagall's like, what? And then she goes, as you may know, I am Hogwarts head, High Inquisitor, and I've come to, review you or whatever.
Yeah.
And have you received my owl?
Yeah.
And McGonagall's like, obviously, or I would have asked you what you're doing in my classroom. And I'm like,
McGonagall! Top 40.
Top 10. And so, she's, so then she's talking to,
She also interviews...
Oh, so then, it's kind of a playful... Well, not a playful exchange, but McGonagall just doesn't take any of...
Yeah, McGonagall takes none of her crap.
Yeah, she's like, whatever.
I think it's, like, she... I think Dolores does another, him, him! And she rounds on her and is like, I don't understand how you expect to observe me teaching if you continue to interrupt me, which I do not allow my students to do.
Which was amazing.
And it's just great.
They also look forward to Snape getting reviewed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they actually don't, because Harry's like, oh, between Snape and Umbridge, I don't know which one I hate more.
Oh, that's true, but I thought there was something of like, yeah, but Snape will be, like, put under the...
Yeah, that's true.
...scope or something, I don't know.
But what they're really, I mean, the really fascinating slash, I mean, basically she just interviews Snape and is like, so, you've been teaching quotients here for 16 years, and he's like, yes. And she says, but you first applied for the position of Defense Against the Dark Arts Professor.
Yes.
Yes.
But you were unsuccessful?
Obviously. Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman for
Theft of My
the
Heart.
Win.
Great.
I love that man.
Oh.
Anyone who's Professor Snape and Metatron.
Oh. I am the Metatron, herald of the Almighty, and voice of the one true God. Love that movie.
That's
such a great
so,
movie.
Oh, mention
so
something
many great things about that movie.
Say that you're the Metatron and everyone stares at you blankly, but mention something from a Charlton Heston film and suddenly everyone's a biblical scholar.
May I continue uninterrupted?
So
oh,
great. Yeah.
She
so,
also observes Trelawney.
Yeah. Oh, before we get to that.
Oh, okay.
Can we just say that she observes Gribbly Plank.
I covered that while you were, Robert, were talking to Robert.
Right, but did you say... what? did you say that Like, the Gryffindors were really standing up for Hagrid, but then the Slytherins are... Okay, sorry, I missed
that. Oh, yeah, the Slytherins were really gross Slytherins are, Hagrid.
Yeah, they're, like, she's, like, interviewing them, and they're like, well, I mean, a hippogriff attacked Draco last year, and Harry's like, well, that's not the full story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad, because the classes of Care Magical Creatures with Grubbly Plank have been really fun. Like, they found, like, a... Like, they're hanging out with a unicorn one day. Yeah. And they're, like, hanging out with, like, a baby gold, or a unicorn, which is solid gold, for some reason.
Yeah.
And so, like, Harry, Ron, Hermione are still all about Hagrid, but everyone's kind of like,
Harry and Ron are about
Hagrid. Oh, that's true. Hermione's like, I would like a class, please.
Yeah, exactly, because it's Hermione. Yeah. She's got a good heart, but she's like, I don't really know that he's meant to be a professor.
She cares for her academia.
Right.
Now you go to Trelawney, sorry.
Okay, and so she also, so Umbridge also observes Trelawney's class. You may recall that Trelawney has a tendency to be a little spacey and airy and predict death around every corner, especially for Harry Potter. And so, basically, I don't remember what the occasion is, but they're like, oh, they have to do dream journals, which Harry's like, I'm not writing down any of my dreams. Because they're either about Cedric dying or me trying to open a door, and I'm not writing them down. I'm gonna make things up. And so he and Ron make some dream journals up together, which is really cute.
Yeah, and they're just making random junk up.
Yep. And then I think they're trying to interpret their dreams in class. They're, like, working with a dream oracle, I believe is the book. And, yeah, she's so...
Umbridge asks her to make a prediction.
Yeah, basically Umbridge tells Trelawney, like...
And Trelawney actually,
if you really are good at predicting things, make a prediction. And Trelawney's like, well, you can't just... It doesn't... You can't... And, so Umbridge is like, well, and starts to leave. And Trelawney goes, no, wait! I see in your future, there's danger.
There's terrible and, things will happen.
And death. And Umbridge just goes, all right. And walks out. Which is funny because it reminds me of one of my favorite Xena episodes. Which begins with Gabrielle, the innocent one, slightly more innocent and naive one, getting her palm read. And this woman is like, I see a man in your future. And Xena goes, let me guess, tall, dark, and handsome. And Gabrielle's like, can you just let me do my thing? And the woman is like, as a matter of fact, yes. And you're going on a long voyage with this man. And they're like, no, we're just here for supplies and then we're leaving. Like, you're not. And Gabrielle's like, all right, let's just go. And they're about to leave. And the woman goes, wait, it's not safe. There's danger and death in your future. And Gabrielle turns to Xena and says, did you hear that? And Xena just sort of looks at her, and Gabrielle says, she just described every day of our lives. And I'm like, yay!
That's awesome.
Then there is danger and death in their future, because otherwise it wouldn't be a Xena episode. There's gotta be, like, weeks in the life of Xena and Gabrielle when they're just traveling from town to town and nothing bad is happening, and there's no episodes of that, because it's just like, hey, we're just traveling from town to town, being adorable together. I have feelings about Xena I just almost said Xena the Vampire Slayer. I also have feelings both about Xena the Warrior Princess and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Generally, they are the same, which is that those are amazing television shows that everyone should watch and know. I'm just gonna have a moment to myself.
Okay. So before that happens, so Umbridge reviews Trelawney and it doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. Are we just sticking with this and seeing what happens, or are we?
Yeah, we don't have to wait for the results to come.
Okay, so, later.
Good.
Umbridge, fires Trelawney.
Yeah.
And kicks her out of the castle.
Yep.
And she's going to leave, she's kicked her out, and McGonagall's like, nuh-uh. Like, she's like, Umbridge, this is not cool, like, no, and... Umbridge is like, I'm High Inquisitor, I can do that. And then all of a sudden, Dumbledore shows up.
Yay!
And says, hey, not cool. And Umbridge is like, I can dismiss your teachers. And he's like, yeah, but you can't kick them out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sybil, come back inside, it's gonna be okay. So Trelawney gets to stay, and something that is not covered in the movies.
At all.
At all.
Which is infuriating.
Which is infuriating.
It's amazing. It's
my favorite part of this book. They hire the centaur, Firenze, from book one, who gave Harry Potter a ride, to be the new divination teacher.
Yeah.
Professor. And he's awesome.
So great.
He's the coolest.
And they magic an old classroom to look like the forest.
Yeah. So, like, they get to go to a classroom that's basically the forest every day, and he, like, can actually, like, make predictions.
Right.
And he's really engaging, and all the girls have crushes on him, and
he's gorgeous. He's,
it's
like,
just awesome.
He's blonde. The human part of him is blonde, and then the horse part of him is Palomino.
Yeah.
It's pretty great, because it says Parvati Patil is curling her eyelashes with her wand and examining the effect in a spoon on the breakfast morning, the morning of the class. And Hermione's just like, huh. And they're like, oh, whatever, Hermione. He's gorgeous. And she's like, he still has four legs. Which I'm like, I'm not sure how I feel about the way that Hermione reacts to this. But I think it's still hilarious. Because, whatever. And she's not in divination. So, that's probably why she's ornery about it. And,
So he's cool. Really cool.
He's very specific about, like, the basically the brand of magic that Trelawney teaches is not real, like, that's not real divination.
Right.
And the stars don't care about your dreams and, like, your pithy little human interactions day to day. It's about, like, long-term predictions.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. He's neat.
He is neat.
So, Harry continues to have detention with Dolores.
Also continues to have these weird dreams.
Yep. And, which happens first? If he gets kicked off the team, or that he gets taken off the team, or the attack on Arthur Weasley?
I don't remember. Because they don't cover Quidditch in the movie?
Right.
The attack happens close to Christmas,
I think it's
though, I
pretty,
believe.
Yeah, you're right. I think the, him getting booted from the team is pretty early.
I was gonna say, I think it'd have to be, because they,
Well, and because they do the DA over October.
Right.
And I think he's out of it.
Whoa, right. Already in October?
I think so. Yeah, dang. The first meeting that they have is in October.
All right. Oh, I suppose it's Fall Hogsmeade.
Because October 11th, I believe, is when the decree goes up. I think that's right. So, okay, so basically Harry keeps having these detentions with Dolores that are supposed to convince him not to tell anybody that Voldemort's come back. Because she believes that this is a lie, because the ministry says it's a lie, and so she's punishing him. Harry has trouble with learning lessons. Because he's a stubborn butt.
Yep.
And so I think he has another outburst in class.
Yeah, probably.
I don't recall exactly the situation, but basically I think he says something along the lines of, so Cedric Diggory died of his own accord, did he?
Yes.
Or dropped dead of his own accord. And she says, Cedric Diggory's death was a tragic accident. And Harry says, Cedric Diggory's death was caused by Lord Voldemort.
And everyone's like,
bah, you said the thing. You said the thing you're not supposed to say. Both the name and the thing that happened that you're not supposed to say. And so she gives him detention again.
And like, immediately he's like, Angelina's gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
He's like, uh-oh.
Oh, she actually... it's during a Quidditch, so, okay, he keeps having, yeah, that's right, Angelina corners Harry and is like, what is wrong with you?
Like, first of all, once he gets out of detention, Angelina's like, okay, I don't care what you have to do, like, be nice to this woman, because we need you on the frickin' team.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, and then he has an outburst, and he has more detention, and Angelina's like, are you frickin' kidding me? Like, I am trying to keep this team together.
Yeah.
You're an awesome seeker, but you have to come to practice.
Right. So, that happens. Potter. And then I believe it's during a... Oh.
Yes?
So, I think their first Quidditch match is against Slytherin.
Probs.
I don't know. Their first Quidditch match is... Slytherins are involved. Either they're there being jerks or they're... I think they're playing them. And basically, they come up with this song.
Oh.
Called,
Weasley is our king.
Weasley was born in a bin. He cannot let the quaffle in. That's why Slytherins all sing, Weasley is our king. And other verses about, like, how Ron is poor and also terrible at Quidditch.
Yeah.
And that's why he's the hero of the Slytherins.
Yeah.
And so they sing this, and they have, like, it's all sing-songy and terrible and awful, and they, I think they lose the game on account of it, or I think Harry catches the snitch just in time to, like, end it.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, but Ron is having a terrible, like, he can't play, he's too nervous, he's awful. And they land on the pitch after, I think this is their first game, and Malfoy's like, aha, I made fun of your family and you and you're a bad person. Ha 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 ha. Yep. I'm Malfoy. Ha ha ha. And Harry's like, oh, shut the fuck up. Excuse me. Sorry. Sorry, Carrie's family that listens to the podcasts.
Yeah, I think they're cool with it. They've heard it by now.
Okay, sure. And Harry's like, shut up, Malfoy. And Malfoy's like, oh yeah, you stayed with him over the summer, didn't you? I guess it's probably better than anything you grew up with. Although I do think, you know, like, the smell of muggles that you live with probably reminds you of your dirty muggle mother. Or, like, dirty mudblood mother. And Harry straight up tackles him and just, like, is wailing on
him.
Which
he deserves.
Right, exactly, because it's Malfoy. We don't like Malfoy. Malfoy's evil.
And he, well, just said those evil things.
Yeah, also. And so, yes?
I just recognize, I don't, never mind. In book 4, did we cover him being turned into a ferret?
I hope so.
I don't remember doing that. But it makes me happy.
Gosh,
when it happens.
I hope so.
But it's weird to talk about now. Let's just continue with the story, and we'll just hope that we covered the ferret thing. If we haven't, please leave us a comment or something, and we'll make a special episode.
Special episode.
Called Things We Missed.
A 2-hour recounting Malfoy as a ferret. along with the societal implications.
Right. Which I'm sure will come up.
If you got pregnant as a ferret by another ferret, would you have half-human, half-ferret babies? Or ferret babies?
I think it depends on babies. If you were a ferret when you gave birth.
Oh.
Wow, there's a lot of...
Yeah, right?
I'm scared to go down this road. Let's just go. Let's keep going to book 5.
Are you afraid to go down the ferret hole? Wonderland joke, everyone celebrate. Okay, so basically, which one, Fred or George? Okay, one of the twins and Harry attack Crabbe and Goyle and Malfoy.
I want to say Fred.
I think you're right. And, so as a result, Umbridge gives them a lifetime ban from Quidditch.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, and Angelina's like, I will kill you both. I will slaughter both of you. You've lost me, my seeker, and one of my beaters. I don't remember. I don't think it's her boyfriend, so I want to say it's Fred.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, yep. I like how we talked about how Americans only value extracurricular activities when clearly wizards also greatly value extracurricular activities.
That's true.
Moving on. So Angelina's pissed because her team's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to hold tryouts for a new seeker and beater.
Yep.
Which Ginny becomes seeker. Can we just...
Yeah, Ginny becomes seeker. They get a new beater who's not that good, but Ginny's pretty good.
Yeah.
Although she tells Harry later, like, oh, you know, like, I'm not as good as you. I'd rather be a chaser. I think that's more fun.
Yeah, she likes being a chaser better, but, like, this is a spot on the team. And
yeah. And... Fred and George are like, how'd she get so good? And he says, she's been breaking into the broom closet since she was 6 and taking out each of your brooms in turn to practice. And they're like, oh, right on.
Oh, nice.
So that's happening. So Harry's no longer doing Quidditch, so he's depressed about that. And,
revelation! Oh! Okay. I think here's what happens.
What happened?
Okay. When... Harry gets pissed in the common room, I believe, is when Hermione introduces the idea of the DA.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure Hermione says, hey, we really need a teacher to teach us defense against dark arts. And, like, she's like, clearly we're not learning it.
A proper teacher.
Clearly we're not learning it. And I was thinking, or I think she says, like, Ron and I were thinking, then Ron's like, and she's like, I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
That you could do it. And I think for some reason Harry gets pissed at that. Yeah. And there's like a legit reason. I just can't remember what it is right now. Okay. Emmy's chewing on
because
ice.
Because it's like...
But she'll get back. Okay.
I'm sorry. That's a thing I do.
because he's like, it's not a game. It's not something like, it's not something I can teach. It's,
oh, right.
You're, it's like not about, it's not something you can, it's instinct and it's, there's no training and I've just been lucky and been in the right place at the right time or had the right person show up or known the right spell. And it's nothing that you, like, when you're standing over Cedric Diggory's dead body and trying to figure out how, knowing that there's one spell standing between you and death. And he's giving this like passionate speech about how it's not just a game or something to fight the forces of darkness. And that's when he knocks the bowl to the floor.
Yep.
And Hermione's like, you realize that what you just said is the reason we need you to teach us. And he's like, harumph!
He's like, whatever. And like, storms off. But the idea continues to percolate.
Right.
In his body.
And Hermione, of course, is doing her own little organizing.
Right. But the idea is still going, which I feel is a calling, but whatevs. So.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Vocation.
Right.
Although apparently he doesn't end up being a teacher, which I think is bullshit.
Yeah, same here. So he keeps thinking about this idea.
Yeah.
And then later, after he smashes the bowl.
Yep.
He's like, so, I've been kind of thinking about the thing. And, like, immediately Ron's like, whatever, I totally don't think you should even do it. Like, meh.
I'm on your side, I'm on your side,
whatever you think. And Hermione's like, okay, what are you thinking? Yeah, and he's like, maybe we do need someone because Umbridge is clearly not teaching us anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I think Hermione is like, good, I've been thinking about it too, and brings out all these plans.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, well, okay, I've got a group of people who want to meet, and we're going to go next, you know, our first Hogsmeade weekend, which is early October, we're going to meet at the Hog's Head, which is more secluded than the Three Broomsticks, so we're less likely to be overheard. And we're just going to talk about it. And it'll be just, you know, us and a couple people.
Yeah, just a couple people.
And it's like 20? 25?
It's like 25 people. Yeah, it's just a ridiculous amount of people. And Harry's like, are you freaking kidding me?
And she's like, well.
I thought there were going to be like 5 people. And she's like, well, people wanted to come. I don't know.
Oh, Ginny's boyfriend Michael Goldstein comes.
With a friend.
Skipped from the movie because apparently in the movie, Ginny just waits around for Harry for forever. No. Ginny's awesome.
Well, she does date someone before Harry, but yeah. In the movies.
Yeah, but this is...
But this is before that even happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
No, this is just like, oh, we're gonna bring Michael Goldstein, and Ron is like, who's he?
And Hermione's like, settle down.
Okay. Yeah, he's basically like, I don't like anybody that's dating my little sister, which is cute. In an annoying way. Did your brothers ever do that to you?
No, but I didn't date anyone.
Oh, fair enough. Alright.
I mean, I don't date people.
We've discussed this already.
I get weirded out and then nervous and then they get friend zoned.
We've discussed whether bacteria or penguins are superior.
We've discussed penguins versus bacteria earlier. That's right.
Our new t-shirt.
Elephants greater than humans.
Penguins versus bacteria. No one's gonna understand that.
No one's gonna understand that.
We're gonna have to explain that to people.
Eh.
Alright. Oh, gosh. Okay, so they decide to form this group called the DA for Defense Against the Dark Arts? Or Dark Arts Club?
I don't know, something. It must be something like that.
But then they decide to nickname it Dumbledore's Army. So that's what they write on the piece of parchment. Sorry,
Hermione. Ginny does. Like, Ginny's like, we'll call it Dumbledore's Army.
Because that's what they really fear, isn't it? Isn't that what the ministry really feels? Just we're forming an army and equipping ourselves, and everybody's like, ha-ha! That's funny! We'll call it Dumbledore's Army.
That's not going to come up later.
Nope, not a problem. And so Hermione's like, okay, if you want to be in it, you all have to sign your name to this piece of parchment. And everybody's like, she's like, I'm Hermione Granger. I'm not stupid. I won't leave it around. And they're like, all right, fair enough. So everybody signs. Cho Chang has come to the meeting and brought her friend Marietta, who's like, whatever. I've got curly hair and I'm not sure about this. Literally, those are the characteristics named about Marietta every time she appears. But Cho Chang's like, hi, Harry. And Harry's like, girl! I mean, hey, Cho.
Hey, Cho.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
You're pretty. Seriously, that's basically how he is around girls.
Yeah.
And, which I understand.
Oh,
and
Emmy.
So, they're soft and pretty. So anyway, they form this group, and the problem is they can't figure out where to practice, because they're like, well, maybe we could borrow a classroom from a teacher, you know, maybe McGonagall would let us use her classroom, blah, blah, blah.
And then when they get back from Hogsmeade, the next day there's been a new high inquisitorial proclamation, decree. Yeah, educational decree that says no groups of two or more students may meet without the permission of the High Inquisitor. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, all of the student groups are henceforth disbanded.
Yeah.
Are disbanded, including the Quidditch teams.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a student group, you have to get it okayed by the High Inquisitor.
And Angelina's like, Harry, if you say one word to Umbridge ever again, I will kill you. Because she will not let us have Quidditch if you do anything stupid. And he's like, I know. I'm sorry.
I know, I'm sorry.
And so he kind of looks at Hermione and is like, what are we going to... She's like, well, obviously we're still going to meet. We just have to figure out how to do it in secret. And Harry's like, okay.
All right.
Hermione, the hero of the series. Do you know, if you take out certain letters in her name spells heroin. Think about it, Internet. Hermione Granger and boys are stupid. That's what book five is. Because basically,
that's what every book is.
Well, basically. But, yeah, that's true. Hermione Granger and I have to organize everything myself.
Yep.
So, they're trying to figure out where to meet, and, one day, Dobby comes to visit Harry.
Oh.
Remember that?
Dobby.
I think it's, like, right before Halloween or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. And so Dobby's like, hi, I came to visit Harry Potter. And, or maybe Dobby, like, finds it. I don't remember. But anyway, Harry and Dobby are talking secretly, or in private, I should say. And, they just chat a little bit, and it's great, and he's like, oh, Dobby, I'm glad you're working and happy and blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to explain to him about what they want to do about Dolores. And Dobby says, oh, if Dobby could help Harry Potter, Dobby would help Harry Potter. Dobby will do anything for Harry Potter because Harry Potter was the wizard who freed him. And Harry's like, do you know a place where we could practice, you know, like 25 to 30 people could practice Defense Against the Dark Arts without being found? And he expects Dobby to shake his head and say, no, Harry Potter, such a thing is impossible, blah, blah, blah. And instead, he perks up and is like, yes, I know, Dobby knows exactly the place. It is called the Room of Requirements, sir, or the Come and Go Room. And it's a room that just appears when you need it with whatever you need
in it.
And it's amazing. And so Dobby talks about, like, they've found extra cleaning supplies when the elves run out, or, like, when Winky is sleeping things off, there's a bed and a lot of, I think, hot tea or something.
It's sneakily mentioned in book one.
Exactly. And Harry says, and if you were looking for a bathroom in the middle of the night, would it turn into a room full of chamber pots? Which Dumbledore mentions in book one.
Yep.
And so Dobby's like, yes, I think so, sir. It's a very clever room. It's great. And so Harry's like, yes! And they go and they make the Room of Requirement appear, and it's this gorgeous room with, like, tons of space to practice and books of all kinds of things and, like, faux detectors, and it's just great. So they get everybody there, and everybody's like, whoa! And Harry's like, yeah, I know, I'm pretty awesome.
I know, it's pretty cool.
And so he's been, like, planning lessons, and he kind of, I think he starts teaching them with, like, defensive spells. I think with Expelliarmus.
Yeah.
And, is it Ernie McMillan or Justin Fletchley? I think it's Ernie. No, it's
Zachariah Smith.
Zachariah Smith is like, ugh. Like, that's gonna... Oh, by the way, we have a good mix of mostly Gryffindors and then some Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws in the group. No Slytherins.
No Slytherins.
Because Slytherins are that evil. None of them even, like, get invited to join the group of how to defend themselves.
Which, why would you invite a Slytherin?
What if there are good Slytherins?
There probably are, but...
Slughorn was a good Slytherin. He is.
Okay.
In the movie, he's better. He's not as good in the book.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call him essentially good. I mean, I don't think he's evil.
He's a better Slytherin.
He's one of the better Slytherins, but he's very Slytherin. I don't think there's a warm and cuddly Slytherin. And I don't think there's a Slytherin that wouldn't take advantage of that group.
That's true. In the movie, so they practice for like 6 months, meeting... Hermione magics up these cool coins that look like galleons, but they turn the date and time on them can be changed, and so that's how they tell everybody when the next meeting is.
The serial number changes.
Yes, the serial numbers.
Date and time.
Yeah, and
When she hands them out, everybody stares at her, and she's like, well, I thought it was a good idea. And they're all like, you can magic things like this? And she's like, well, yeah. And they're like, this is really advanced magic. And she's like, okay, I'm Hermione Granger.
Have we met?
I'm awesome.
Hi. I've heard about it in Hogwarts in history.
Although Hermione's very modest about her skills. For someone who's the heroine of the book.
Yeah.
For
someone who is Emmy Kickler's number one.
Number one.
But yeah, so they practice for a couple months.
In the movies, it makes it seem like Umbridge is constantly on to them, and it's not true.
No.
She has no idea. She's passing plenty of other educational degrees about other things, including...
Boys and girls are not allowed to be within 6 inches of each other.
Yeah. Which is...
I just remember that from the movie.
Nice heteronormativity there, Umbridge.
Yeah.
It's true.
Damn you guys. You get to make out all you want.
Yeah, we get to share dorms even.
Meanwhile, me and the straighties over here are like...
Whatever.
You guys do get to share dorms.
We do get to share dorms. It's kind of the best. Suckers! I mean, there's the whole societal impression and religious
prejudice. You guys probably should get some perks, because you got some hard stuff going on.
Thanks for acknowledging.
Then we get to just, like, breeze right through.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
what else is going on? Quidditch is terrible. Ron is awful. The team is awful. They're just losing all the time. Ginny's a decent enough seeker that, like, she can kind of keep the team going, since she's scoring 150 points per game. But that's, they're not doing well, and it pains them to watch. And Hermione at one point is just like, Quidditch is dumb. And they're all like, whatever! And she's like, well, here's, you know, you may think that I'm stupid about Quidditch, or, like, that I don't care about something that you care about, but at least my happiness isn't riding on Ron's ability to save the Quaffle. And Harry's like, she's kind of right.
She kind of has a point there.
Kind of won that one. So, that's going on. And, yeah, that's pretty much...
Yeah.
So then, round Christmas?
Yeah, but we should say they're having these regular DA meetings, and then the last one before Christmas... a certain Cho Chang
also
hangs
has
back.
Hagrid returned yet?
I don't think so.
I think Hagrid has returned because I think they go into the forest before the winter.
Okay, I just feel like he returns way late. But
okay,
I
fine.
Could
That's
be wrong.
Fine. No, let's go with your version. Let's just do the Nargles.
Okay, so I don't remember exactly how it happens, but they're at a DA meeting, and then they're like wrapping up or whatever. Like, Harry's like, hey, happy holidays, everyone. Happy Christmas. And they all leave, except for one Miss Cho Chang hangs back and is, like, looking at whatever.
I think she's just kind of, like, digging in her bag and is like, no,
right,
Marietta,
like,
you go,
I'll just stay behind. Pulling that game.
Yeah.
Pulling that trick.
Yeah. It's an oldest one in the book.
It is.
The leisurely dawdle.
Right. Like, oh, I'll just spend more time with you. That's okay.
It's smartphones have made that so much easier.
It's true. I'm just checking Instagram.
Oh, someone texted me. I better look at it right now.
That's
really
creepy.
Who texted you?
Oh, it's an Instagram.
Who's it from? It might be your true love. Right. This is a mission.
No, it's my friend Ashley Parsons.
Oh, okay. Hi, Ashley. Good job.
I do love her.
Well.
But she's...
As I just recently learned from Frozen, true love does not have to be romantic love.
It's true.
Important lesson. Thanks, Disney, for finally getting to that after 80 years of other crap you've been shoving down our throats.
Okay.
Anyway, Cho Chang hangs back, and she comes over to Harry, and they're just kind of like, hey. And she is actually, she gets sniffly, and she says, I just wonder if he'd still be alive if he knew these things, you know? And Harry's like, oh, she's talking about Cedric. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he did know these things. And I think he says something kind of callous, like, well, if Voldemort wants to kill you, you're basically dead. She says, well, you survived. And he's like, yeah, I guess so. And she looks up, and there's mistletoe above them, and she comments on this. And Harry's like, yeah, it's probably full of Nargles, which I think is something he's heard Luna say before.
Yep.
And she says, what are Nargles? And he says, I don't know. And then they kiss, which is really cute. I think it, like, sort of, I think the movie does a fade to black, and I think the book also does a fade to black. And then Harry gets back to the common room and is like, hey, Ron, hey, Hermione. And Ron's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, why wouldn't I be? And Hermione's like, uh-huh, how's Cho? And Ron's like, what? And Hermione basically is just like, oh, I knew she fancied you, and is like, did she kiss you, or did you kiss her? And Harry's like, yep. And Ron says, how was it? And he says, wet. And Ron's like, what?
What?
Did you do it, Ron? And Harry's like, no, I don't think so. And in the movie, there's this weird thing where Hermione's like, I'm sure Harry's kissing is more than adequate, which doesn't happen at all in the book. Because then there's, like, this weird tension thing. And that doesn't happen in the book.
Right.
So, anyway, Ron's just like, ah, you kissed her badly, so she cried. And Hermione's like, Ron, it's because she's, like, full of emotions and sadness. And Ron's like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, she's attracted to Harry, but it's sad for her to be attracted to Harry because she was dating Cedric, and Cedric died while he was with Harry.
Therefore, she feels guilty being with Harry.
In addition, her mother is under, like, significant pressure at the ministry, or, like, with the ministry to, you know, do things. And she's really worried that she's going to get kicked off the Quidditch team because she's been flying so badly. And I think that there's a couple other things.
Yeah.
And Ron says, there's no way one person could feel all that at once. They'd explode. And Hermione says, just because you've got the emotional capacity of a teaspoon doesn't mean the rest of us do.
I love that exchange.
It's just great.
No one can feel that all at once.
It'd explode. And so Harry's just kind of like, okay, so I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Thank you.
Taste of her cherry capstick. I can't believe you're squatted Mary. Okay. Anyway, so is it that night? I think it's that night that he has the bad dream.
Yep.
And Carrie, you wanna?
Sure. So Harry has this dream, and it's kind of like the ones where he's reaching the door. Like, it kind of has that same feel to it, but it's not that one. Yep. He's I think he's in the same hallway though.
Yeah,
he's in the same hallway. But he sees Arthur Weasley, and in this hallway, and he attacks him.
Yep. He is he's like crawling on his belly.
And then attacks Arthur Weasley, yep. Like bites him. And then Harry wakes up and he's like, he's like, that was way too freaking real.
Yeah. He's like, I think I was just a giant snake and I bit.
And I bit Arthur Weasley.
And he's dying and bleeding to death.
So he's freaking out. So he runs. And does he go to McGonagall? Or
I think so.
I think he goes to...
I think he wakes up, like, Ron wakes him, because he's freaking out, and he's like, your dad, I've attacked your dad. And Ron's like, I bet. And so I think they run to McGonagall.
And McGonagall takes him to Dumbledore. Yeah. And, Dumbledore, I know in the movie he's like, were you standing next to the victim, or were you looking down on the scene? And Harry's like, I felt like I was the snake.
Yep.
And Dumbledore's like, okay!
Right then. Dumbledore
and, like, springs into action. Yeah. And
Dumbledore sends two portraits.
Yep.
One to alert the ministry.
Yep.
And one to, one of his other portrait at Sirius Black's mansion to let him know that, like, hey, Arthur Weasley's been attacked, and the Weasleys will be coming to stay with him. Oh, they get all the Weasleys up.
Yeah.
And they're all like, I'm sorry, Harry what? Harry turned into a giant snake and attacked our dad.
Okay. Yeah, what's going on now?
Good, all right. Thanks for that, mate. And then...
So that...
Port keys them out of there.
Yep.
To Grimmauld Place, because they can't go to the hospital. And the twins are just losing their shit. They're like, we're going to go to the hospital. We're going to see our dad. We need to make sure he's okay. And they're like, you can't just go to the hospital when the only reason that we know that this happened is because Harry had a vision. They're like, well, we could just know that something was wrong. He's our dad. We want to know what's... And it's just really sweet, like, interchange.
Yeah.
Harry has a couple of flashes of wanting to strike Dumbledore and bite him. And so that's terrifying.
In the movie, I think it's in the book too, like, Dumbledore is, like, busy, like, he's like telling the Porges where to go, and he's just kind of running around. And Harry's like, just look at me. Like, just look at me once. Because Dumbledore's been ignoring him this entire time. And they have a very close relationship to the point where, I mean, he's a father to Harry, essentially. And Harry's like, you've been ignoring me. Plus, I have all these freaking questions about all of this.
Yep.
And so, so then he just, like, screams at him, like, look at me, and wants to attack him.
Which is, that's how the movie does it. I think in the book, it's just, like, they're, Dumbledore just hasn't been looking at him, and Harry's been too much in shock to really notice, and it's when they're both touching the port key, he looks up at Dumbledore, and they make eye contact, and he wants to bite him.
Yep.
And there's this, and he has this weird,
he's but, like, I mean, oh, you can't,
the way to convey that in the movie. I really think the movie does an excellent job of conveying kind of this weird thing that Harry's got going on where there's this...
The neck thing is freaking amazing.
Yeah, this barely contained rage. I mean, Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, like, kudos to you, sir.
Well done. You like, are a rat, seriously.
Because, I'm sorry. I just love him, and I feel like...
He's an amazing actor.
He's an amazing actor, and I feel like he doesn't get really the recognition because they're just, like, kids' movies. But, like, to go from this, like, 10-year-old who's with his bowl cut, like, I'm, like, beating a troll, to, like, stuff, like, with his neck. I'm like, so you are amazing!
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yep. So they go to Grimmauld Place.
Right. And basically, they just wait, and then eventually, I think Molly shows up and is like, he's alive. Oh, I think they overhear he's alive, but just barely.
Yeah.
Or something like, basically, that they think that it's really bad.
Sad fact, J.K. Rowling almost killed him at this point. Like, the plan was to, that he would die.
Wow, that's dark.
Isn't it? Like, way to make a dark movie darker.
Wow! That is really dark. She would have taken out Arthur Weasley?
Yeah, she was planning on it. She would have come serious more. But she was,
Wow, Yeah, much better to do it the worst.
True. But still, like, woof.
Wow, that's intense.
So anyway.
So they go to visit him in the hospital.
Oh!
So many things happen. So many things happen in that hospital. So before they get to Arthur Weasley, they run into Tom Cruise.
Yep. They run into Tom Cruise.
From book two, who has lost his marbles, his memory. Yep. Doesn't remember who he is.
So he's just permanently staying in St. Mungo's.
Yep.
He's completely lost his memory and is just crazy. And
he's kind of adorable. He's sort of baffled as to like why everybody keeps writing him fan mail.
Yeah.
And so that's cute. And then, they run into, the nurse is, like, distributing presents because it's right before Christmas, and, Sturgis Podmore is someone they see, and he gets gifted a plant. Isn't this lovely? And he's, like, the nurse tells them, like, he's regaining his ability to talk. He's still sort of babbling, but we think he's, you know, on the mend. And, then... As they're crossing another hallway to get to Arthur Weasley, they run into Neville and his grandmother. And Harry's like, because Harry knows why he's here. Ron doesn't. Ron's like, hey, what are you doing here? You visiting somebody? How's it going? And who are you visiting? And the grandmother's like, Neville, haven't you told them about your parents? Aren't you proud? And Neville's like, of course I'm proud, Grandma. And Ron's like, what?
What's going on?
And then we meet Neville's parents.
Frank and Alice Longbottom.
I have tingles. Sad ones.
I love them. So, we meet Frank and Alice, who, like Tom Cruise, are permanently staying at the hospital. If you remember from previous books, they were tortured by Bellatrix Lestrange and her husband and Barty Crouch Jr., with the Cruciatus curse to the point of insanity. So they don't remember anything because they were tortured so badly that their memories and everything has just gone and they're mentally incapable of taking care of themselves. And so Neville and his grandmother visit, but they don't know him. And it's just, it's just so sad. So sad. Sad.
So Alice Longbottom comes back down the hallway. And the grandmother's, like,
sort of patient with her like one would be with a toddler. Like, oh, what is it, Alice, dear? Like, not really reacting to her. And she holds out something for Neville. And he reaches out to take it, and it's a candy wrapper. And grandmother's like, that's very nice, Alice. And she's like, oh, Neville, just throw that away. She's given you dozens of those over the years. And Harry sees him slip it into his pocket.
Yeah. So sad. I just... Neville.
I think it's really... And it's. I think it's meant to highlight, I mean, both the evil that they're facing and the dangers that, like, the evil that they're facing, but also the consequences if it's not dealt with.
Right.
Like... They're putting themselves in harm's way, but they have to because this is what this is what Death Eaters do to people.
And I feel like it connects Harry and Neville even more because they're born on the same day and everything, but they're also like...
We haven't covered that yet.
Oh, well, that happens. But Harry and Neville are also both, they don't have their parents.
Yeah.
While Harry's are dead, Neville has a constant living reminder of the fact that...
Yeah.
Like, I have my parents, but I don't have my parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, so sad.
That's so awful. And, I mean, I think that really captures, like, the pain of watching a parent or anyone you love going through dementia or brain tumor or any kind of memory loss.
Definitely.
Just that, like, they're... Something about them is still in there. You know, like, she still has affection towards Neville in the sense that, like, she wants to give him a candy wrapper.
Right. But the only way she knows to express that affection is to give him a candy wrapper. Yeah, so
speak and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but then we go see Arthur Weasley.
But then we see Arthur Weasley, and he's doing a lot better.
Yeah, he's improved significantly. There's some shouting because he and a young apprentice healer have decided to try a muggle remedy called stitches. And Molly Weasley's like, that sounds like you're just trying to sew up your skin. What a dumb idea. And all the Weasley kids are like, let's go. And as they close the door, you can hear Molly shouting, what do you mean that's basically the idea?
Oh,
Molly Weasley. So
I enjoy how, like, that, like, how Rowling kept that, that generational gap where, like, the Weasley kids kind of understand the muggle world.
Yeah.
At least a lot more than their parents do.
That's true.
And their parents are like... Yeah.
Oh, stitches, have fun.
Sounds like you're sewing your skin together. What do you mean? Oh, gosh.
So, yeah.
Yes, they visit him.
They spent, oh.
Yeah.
They spend Christmas with Sirius, who's, like, super thrilled to have all the guests, because he's lonely, locked up in Grimmauld Place, because he can't leave, because he's a wanted murderer.
Right. And, Harry has noticed that, like, at the beginning of break, he's, like, super, like, Sirius is, like, super happy and, like, just so excited. And then, like, as the days go on, he gets more and more depressed because he knows that break is ending and that this will be, like, they won't be there anymore.
Yeah.
Does Harry talk to Sirius at this point?
I think he's just kind of like, hey, I thought I was the snake.
Oh, yeah, and Sirius is like,
That's problematic.
That's, yeah.
But I'm sure it's fine. I think. I don't remember if they have any other conversations.
Well, just in the movie, they have the whole, like...
Oh, Death Eaters and...
Yeah. The world is not split up into Death Eaters and...
Whatever.
There's both dark and light in all of us.
I think so. I think there's something because...
I feel like Harry goes to him and does have the whole, like, I'm angry a lot.
Yes.
And, like, I wanted to attack Dumbledore, and, like, I was the snake, and I'm angry a lot.
Yeah.
And I think Sirius is just kind of, like, fatherly to him and says, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, you don't have to be this perfect hero all the time that's, like, always happy. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. And he does give him he is very kind to him and is just like, no, everything's all right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is sort of it's a great speech, but it's sort of a lie.
Right.
As we'll find out. Also, Harry avoids eye contact with everybody for a long time. Like, after he gets, when he's hanging out with just the Weasleys, Hermione hasn't joined them yet because Hermione's the also-ran in the Weasley plus people marrying into the Weasley family. So she doesn't get to come visit them until school is actually over. And basically, Harry's been avoiding everybody's eye contact because he's like, and I was the snake and I attacked Arthur Weasley. And somehow, Voldemort magicked me out of my bedroom, out to London, into the Department of Mysteries where Arthur Weasley was, turned me into a snake, had me attack him, and then got me back into my bed.
And I don't know how, but it's happening, and I'm you know, like, I'm a danger to everyone around me.
Yeah.
And, Hermione shows up and is like, hey, guys! And, then is like, Harry, everybody says you're avoiding them. And he's like, no, I'm not! They're avoiding me! And they're like, no. And, he's like, well, blah, 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 I'm being possessed by Lord Voldemort, and none of you know what it's like. And Ginny's like, really? None of us?
I forgot about that.
None of us know what it's like to be possessed by Lord Voldemort. Because she literally says, like, it's too bad you didn't ask the one person who could tell you what it's like to be possessed by Lord Voldemort. And he turns and says, I forgot. And she says, lucky for you. Oh, Ginny. So great! Top 10. And so she basically quizzes him and is like, are there great blanks in your time that you can't remember? And he's like, no. But I think Voldemort could just, like, do things. And he could just, like, apparate me out of Hogwarts. And Hermione's like, for the last time!
You cannot
apparate or disapparate from Hogwarts! It is in Hogwarts of history!
That book. I hope she reads the audiobook of that. She would have great enthusiasm. No one would ever listen to it, but...
I don't know. I feel like Hermione Granger could eventually become, like, a hero.
I want J.K. Rowling to write Hogwarts of History.
It's true.
Just saying. So, yes, they have Christmas. That whole deal happens. I don't really know what happens next. Like, I mean, I know how things proceed, but we have, like, 24 minutes left of this podcast, which I don't think is enough time to wrap up the entire book.
No.
So, where are we gonna end here?
Okay, what happens after Christmas? They get back. More DA meetings.
More studying.
More terrible Quidditch.
I feel like there's some... Oh, we gotta start Occlumency.
Oh, yeah!
We'll start that!
We'll do Occlumency! Perfect! Yeah. So, because Harry's been having this vision and then the number of other dreams, is determined that he should begin studying Occlumency.
Yeah.
Which is the protection of the mind against unwanted intrusion. Or, excuse me, he should start studying Legilimency. Occlumency is reading other people's brains. Legilimency is protecting your brain.
I thought it was the other way around.
Oh.
Because Snape says legitimens when he goes into...
You're right, as always. Point to Carrie. So yeah, he needs to study Occlumency. With
Severus Snape.
So that's everyone's thrilled about that.
Yeah, so I think Dumbledore sets it up and says, like, hey, so it's clear that Voldemort is probably invading your mind.
You're right.
And we kind of want that to happen.
Yeah.
So you're going to study Occlumency with Snape, who is, who can do Occlumency. Like, he has it on
his... He's a skilled Occlumens.
Right. Thank you. So Harry's like, oh, this is going to turn out well. and so he starts having these lessons. So what Snape does is he very interestingly takes some memories out of his mind and puts them in the Pensieve.
I'm so glad you remembered that.
Yeah. He puts them in the Pensieve before they start their dealio. And then basically just says, clear your mind.
Yep.
And then...
Just straight up attacks Harry.
And starts reading Harry's mind.
Yeah. Doesn't tell him how to defend himself. Doesn't give him any tips. Although apparently he's a really good Occlumens. It's just like, I'm just going to torture you.
Right. I'm just going to invade your mind. And you need to clear it and figure out how to do this on your own.
Right. Which maybe that's the only way to train him, but it's kind
of... But that seems a little... Yeah. Like, it's sort of like saying, like, a tip or
it's two. Sort of like saying, I'm going to teach you how to be a Buddhist and go no mind by having you walk on hot coals.
Yeah.
Like, first you go no mind and you separate the body, and then you walk on hot coals.
Right.
But no. No. This is the fiery...
This is the jumping into the deep end with some sharks in there.
Right.
Approach.
And Snape. Who's also terrible.
Right. And Harry is not doing well with this.
And
the more emotionally frustrated he gets, the more he brings up, like, these painful memories of, like, all of the times that Dudley's tortured him and, like, the horrible things that have happened in his life. And
he keeps seeing, like, Cedric die over and over and over again, which is draining on him, which means it happens more.
Yeah.
And then I think Snape's kind of, like, mocky-ish.
Yeah, he makes fun of him. He's just kind of like, well, can't take the heat. Get out of the...
Right, like, he's like, really, you can't do this, Potter? Like, the great Harry Potter can't even do this? And Harry's like, wah, 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 wah.
Not actually that great, I just happen to be in the right place at the right time with usually the right people protecting my ass.
Right. So that happens for a while. Should we just go into what ends it?
Yeah.
So, they're meeting every once in a while, and Snape keeps taking these memories out. Of his brain, and then he'll put them back in once Harry
with no explanation.
No explanation. So Harry's like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. So then they're in the movie, there's this great moment where Harry's like, if I could just rest, and Alan Rickman says, the Dark Lord isn't resting, and it's my favorite thing ever. But they keep like working in, and Harry's just not getting it, and Snape's just continually torturing him. Yeah, so he goes there one night. Snape takes out the memories, and then something interrupts them, and I don't remember what it is.
Oh, but this is not how the book goes.
It's not? I thought this is the book. Because this is not the movie.
Okay, fine, you keep going. Maybe I'm wrong.
Because in the movie...
You know what? I'm wrong. I'm sorry. There's one night where Harry protects himself and sees, like, a glimpse.
Right.
Okay, but you are talking about...
And that's how it goes in the movie.
Right.
But Harry sees it all. Whereas...
In the book, it's that he looks into the Pensieve.
Right.
Oh, that's even worse!
Yeah.
Harry, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, for some reason, Snape leaves the room, and then Harry's like, I'm gonna check out what's in the Pensieve.
Yeah.
Like, bring it.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I think he sees, like, figures or something, and he gets curious and walks over, and then ends up in the thing. But it's still a total dick move on Harry's part.
Giant violation of privacy.
Giant violation. Like, what the hell, man? Like, every time I read that part, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, yes.
Harry is terrible.
Your curiosity would be just killing you at this point. But to do that is just a huge invasion of privacy.
Yeah. Also, it's not,
and
like,
not cool.
Like, you've been in the Pensieve literally once and you don't know how to get back out. You only know you go in and then the other person finds you in there and pulls you back out. Maybe this is not a smart idea to do with Snape, who hates you.
Freaking Gryffindors, man.
Foolhardy. Hufflepuffs would never do this.
Hufflepuffs would never do this.
We would not invade somebody else's memories.
No, we would be very curious, but we would never do it.
No. We would just ask very indirect questions.
Right. Like, hey, what's up with that? You don't want to tell me? Okay.
You want a cookie?
You want a cookie and talk about it?
I made some tea. I brought you a cat to sit on your lap.
I brought you a cat. Would you like to talk about this? By the way, I know I second the spell, but it's okay. We're going to get through this. So Harry falls into the Pensieve.
Right.
And is taken to a memory in which he sees a boy that looks much like himself.
Mm-hmm.
Probably different colored eyes, though. with his gang of cronies.
Yeah.
Kind of beaten up on a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beaten up on a greasy-haired,
greasy-haired, hook-nosed, oily kid. And if you haven't picked this up by now, it is Robert. He's watching his father, James, and a young Sirius, and a young Lupin, and a young Peter Pettigrew, basically torturing a young Snape.
Yeah.
And making fun of him, and then I think Lily comes.
Yeah.
And is like, knock it off!
Yeah. Does he call her blood at this point?
I think so.
Okay.
And I think he says something about, like, if you go on a date with me, I won't do this, and she's like, whatever, dude! Like, Yeah,
it's like, you're disgusting, James. Like, blah.
Right. So, like, James is just mocking Snape, and then Lily, who will become Harry's mother, is like, it defends Snape, and then James calls her a mudblood, and she's like,
no.
Oh no, Snape does.
Snape calls her a mudblood.
Yeah, because like Lily stands up for Snape, and then Snape's like, I don't need your help, you stupid mudblood.
Yeah,
and then Lily's like, f off.
Yeah.
As
well she should.
Right. Because it's a very offensive
word. Yeah, it's like the N-word, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think James is, like, mocking Sirius, but also, like, trying to get Lily to go on a date with him.
He's like, Evans! Like, he doesn't call her Lily, he calls her Evans! Evans! Yeah, I think that's how it ends, is him going, Evans! And, like, chasing her down and leaving Snape behind.
Yeah.
And that's when real Snape...
And I think he wants to say something, like, he says something about how, like, I'll stop picking on him if you go on a date with me or something. Like, there's some, like, deal there's or whatever. Some sort of... like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think it ends with
I think she also calls him arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so arrogant, James Potter.
Always brushing your hair to make it look like you just dismounted from your broomstick.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then, and then real Snape comes and...
He's like, hi.
Hi. What you doing?
Hey there, looking at my private memories.
And how goes it?
And Harry's like, shit.
Well. So then they are whooshed back to wherever they are.
Snape's office.
In the dungeon. That's what I thought. Back to Snape's office, and Snape's like, get out.
Yeah, just get out now.
And Harry's like, but, and then Snape's like, no, get out.
Yeah.
And then just refuses to teach him Occlumency, which Harry is slightly relieved by, because it's been terrible. Yeah. But Hermione's like, are you flipping kidding me?
Right. Also, Harry has not been trying at all. Like, he's been assigned to, like, when you're going to bed, try to clear your mind, blah, 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 and he's, like, not even trying.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, supposed to clear his mind.
It's like when a kid breaks an arm, and it's like, do your physical therapy, and they're like, yep, nope.
Yeah.
Only like, worse, because the Dark Lord is invading your broken arm and using it to beat everybody else up.
And you're like, eh, whatever.
It's not that important. I don't like the guy who's telling me to do physical therapy,
hard.
So I'm just...
But it's hard.
Thanks, Scott Pilgrim.
Yep.
You've seen that movie, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I wasn't, like, a huge, like, really? Woo, Scott Pilgrim!
Really?
But
okay.
I was like, yeah.
Did you read the graphic novels?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that maybe that was why you didn't like the movie, because it really consolidated the graphic novels into...
Oh, gotcha.
You really have to treat them as separate entities if you want to enjoy them at all. If you consider it a metaphor for how we have to battle our own ex-demons in order to really conquer and achieve true love, it's actually quite a good movie. And also there's all the little, like, video game-y things.
Huh. I might have to rewatch it, because I watched it in college when I was, like, kind of half-watching it and, like, half doing other things, so...
I'm personally a fan. It's the only movie that I tolerate Michael Cera in.
I love him in Juno.
I tolerate... Okay. All right.
I love Juno.
But in both those movies, like, he's just... I don't normally like people who play awkward characters.
I think, again, because
I like the escapism.
Right.
Like, I prefer escapism in my things.
I prefer to connect.
This is probably why you have all of the favorite characters, and mine is just Hermione.
Right.
Because I'm like, I want to be that smart and that heroic.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, I'm kind of like Lupin in this way, but I'm like Sirius in this way, but I'm like Harry in this way, but I'm like Tonks like this way.
I want to realistically connect all of these characters. Whereas I'm just like, choose the ideal.
Right.
Yep.
Whereas I'm like, I see the humanity in all of you. That's also why I can...
Except for Dolores Umbridge.
Mm-hmm. That's also why I can justify Voldemort a little bit. Not justify him, but like, that's why he's slightly above Umbridge in my mind.
Do you think... Okay, here's the thing. So I work at Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Periodically, I shelve books in the World War II section. We have a shit ton of books on Hitler.
Yeah, you do.
On Hitler, especially. Just weird. Like, on understanding the psychology of Hitler. And I wonder, do you think there's just, like, a ton of books out there in the wizarding world about, like, understanding the psychology of He Who Must Not Be Named?
I wonder, because, on the one hand, he is kind of the Hitler of, like...
That's what I'm saying.
That world. On the other hand, they can't even say his name.
Right. They'd be, like, too afraid to write things down.
Right.
Well, you know who would write it, then?
Dumbledore?
No, Harry Potter.
Oh,
that'd be his, like, his Auror PhD.
Probably.
A thesis.
All of my memories.
A thesis. Why the Dark Lord was so awful. And how I kicked his ass.
I have one source. It's me.
This is bibliography. It's just me.
It's just Harry Potter.
Me again. Ibid.
Do I have to write this, or can I just stand up and talk?
We'd like you to defend your thesis. I defeated the Dark Lord.
Would you like to see my Patronus?
And good. PhD awarded.
Done. There you go.
Well done. Well done, sir. Good.
Well done, sir.
Please don't hurt him.
Please don't hurt me.
All of the honors. Honorary PhD from Harvard. Harvard's not a wizarding school.
Yeah, we don't care. Just go for it. It'll help you in the States. Why would I go to the States? I don't know.
Just go, please.
Do you not want it? We'll take it back.
Anything for Harry Potter. The entire wizarding world is just like a slightly larger version of Dobby.
Essentially, yes. That would be interesting, though. I feel like... I was going to say, I feel like Rita Skeeter might take that on, but I don't think she's...
No.
She's not brave enough.
No, it's not really sensational. Like, it's not sensationalist for her. I mean, it's like, the story, the backstory of Voldemort is just sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Harry Potter would do it. I think Hermione would write it.
I was going to say, he's not going to write it.
No, it's going to be a joint project, and then Ron's going to be surly. Oh my gosh, I think we just came up with part of our podcast. Yep. Is the two of them working on this?
And Ron's like, in the corner.
Yeah, like, I don't get to play, because I'm kind of whatever.
I have to work at the joke shop.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Probably why he starts working at the joke shop, because he's like, I don't feel special, because I'm not smart, and I didn't defeat the Dark Lord 600 times. And...
just like you.
Yeah, and George is like, hey man, I get you. You want to come hang out at the joke shop? Yeah,
come work at the joke shop.
And then like Ron invents something really cool and he's like, hey.
Yeah, alright, I gotcha.
Okay, alright.
That's a good idea. We'll run with it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they stopped doing Aquamancy and Harry has discovered that his dad is not the hero that he always wanted his dad to be.
Right. And always was told his dad was. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I think he just sort of, like, filled in the blanks.
Right.
I mean, he did get, like... Like, Sirius was always like, I loved your dad! Your dad is great! But Sirius is not exactly a shining example of good life choices.
And, I mean, it helps explain, like... So, I mean, we've had four and a half books of Snape having this huge vendetta against Harry with no real reason behind it. And now we see, like, oh!
Yeah.
James really was an ass to Snape.
Awful. And humiliated him.
Yeah.
And so he looks at Harry and he sees this guy who humiliated him and he's like...
Which, not gonna lie, if there was a kid that looked like my nemesis from high school, I would be like, I would have such a hard time teaching that kid.
I don't know if that I'd, like, abuse him and his
friends. I wouldn't abuse him and his friends, but every time I looked at him, I'd be like, I'd have that moment.
Okay. I can understand that.
I wouldn't be like...
Do you have a high school nemesis?
Well, kind of.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I mean, there was one dude that was always just a jerk. And I feel like if I saw his face every day, I'd be like, I hate you so much.
Did anybody ever do the crap where they're like, it's just because he likes you?
No, thank God.
Oh. Teachers did that to me in middle school. And
I got that from other kids, but not from this guy. Which I was like,
that's abusive to tell little girls that.
Yeah.
Or medium-sized girls that.
Have you seen the movie He's Just Nothing Into You?
No, I actually haven't.
Mm. So it's this movie where, like, it goes through all these relationships, but...
it's based on the book. He's just not that into you.
Right. But it starts off, and it's this little girl and this, like, this kid, like... Or it's this little girl and this little boy, and the little boy, like, pushes the girl or something, and the girl goes running to her mom, and her mom's like, that just means he likes you. And then, like, the movie's like, and the lie begins. And I'm like, yes! Because no! Like, don't set up that abusive relationships or just
exactly.
Like, no, that just means they like you.
Yeah, no.
If you're getting pushed and hit, don't stay in that.
Yeah, you teach a little girl to go, no, that's not okay.
Right.
If you like me, just, like, bring me a freaking flower.
Exactly, be cute.
It's not that hard.
I don't understand why you're resorting to violence.
Fold me some origami. Girls like origami.
They do.
Yeah.
I like origami.
And boys would have fun folding origami. Like, that's a skill that you can then put to use.
There you go. Done.
Carrie and relationship advice with Carrie and Emmy.
Relationship advice with Carrie and Emmy.
Origami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet the other day that it was from Christian Hipster. And he was like, hey, date idea, making homemade snow globes together. Done. And I was like, I would love that date.
That's super cute.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you totally can do that. I've had, my roommate Natalie gave me a homemade snow globe last year where it's just like a jelly jar. And you glue stuff to the jar lid, and then you put glitter in.
Right.
So it's not, like, you don't use the liquid thing, because that's messy.
Right.
But it's cute. You can, like, shake it up. And,
right.
They don't float quite as nicely, but... You can also get, like... Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's all cool and hipstery, because you can use a mason jar.
Exactly.
But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I also bought a snow globe that you can put pictures in. That's a world. It's a globe that spins. I like it.
So the snow globe.
Exactly.
That's excellent.
So, no more Aquamancy. Harry Potter's dad is not a hero. And,
The DA is,
you know what? I think what we're going to wrap it up with is one night at the DA in March, the door opens, but nobody comes in. And Harry's like, that's weird. And then suddenly, he looks down and Dobby is standing at his feet.
Oh yeah.
And Harry's like, hi, Dobby. What's up? And Dobby's like shaking the way he used to shake whenever he'd come to talk to Harry in book two. And Harry's like, Dobby, what's wrong? And Dobby's like, she's forbidden us to tell the house elves to tell anyone, sir. And like runs himself into a wall. And Harry's like, who's Dobby? Who's she? And Dobby's like shaking his head and trying to hit himself. And so Harry grabs him by one arm so he can't run into a wall. And he's like, Dobby, is it Dolores? Is it Umbridge? And Dobby says, yes! And then like tries to hit himself. And so Harry grabs the other arm and is like, what's she doing? And Dobby's like, Dobby cannot tell you, sir, and tries to kick himself. And Harry holds him back and he's like, is she coming? And Dobby goes, yes! And Harry's like, crap, and drops Dobby and looks around the room and goes, what are you waiting for? Run! And everybody just explodes out. And as Harry's at the back of the group, and there's a lot of scuffling at the door, and just as he's about to escape, someone catches his ankle. And he is hauled back by Draco Malfoy, of course.
Yep.
And given to Dolores Umbridge for interrogation and possibly death. Stay tuned for the next podcast.